Good morning, Christ Community. Pastor Rob asked me to preach, so here I am. I told him I'm not used to speaking so short a time, but I'll give it a try. So we're going to start with 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 1 through 5 from the New King James Version. It happened after this, that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others with them beside the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, "A great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria. They are in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi." And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed the fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord. And from all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. Let us pray. Holy Father, as we prepare to deliver your word, we just pray you will prepare our hearts to receive it. And I ask you, Lord, that you will just set me aside and speak through me, that your word may go forth into fertile soil, and the people will be encouraged and stirred up to good works. In Jesus' name, we offer this prayer. Amen. All right, our scripture opens with, "It happened after this." So what happened? Well, Jehoshaphat fled from Aram, that's Syria, and Jehu, the son of Hanani the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, "Should you help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord? Therefore, the wrath of the Lord is upon you. Nevertheless, good things are found in you, in that you have removed the wooden images from the land and have prepared your heart to seek God." 2 Chronicles 19, 2 and 3. That means he obeyed scripture, what I call stick to the script. Jehoshaphat lived in Jerusalem, and he went out again among the people from Beersheba to the hill country of Ephraim to turn the people's heart back to the Lord, the God of their ancestors. 2 Chronicles 19:4. Jehoshaphat wanted Judah to experience Jehovah's shalom. Now, we call shalom peace, but it really means that everything is whole or complete. This is the type of relationship that Pastor Rob wants you to have with Jesus. That is why he dedicates himself to teach the gospel, because it is the gospel that allows you to know Christ. So after Jehoshaphat set his heart on obeying scripture, he got jumped. That means he was tested by three different groups. But he was tested to see if he was going to stick to the script. The first army mentioned was Moab. They represent the fear of change. This includes holding on to traditions or being controlled by strongholds. Moab was descended from Lot and his oldest daughter. She told her sister, "Come, let's get him drunk with wine and then we will have sex with him. That way we will preserve our family line through our father." Genesis 19:32. She got pregnant, had a son, and named him Moab, which means like father, like son. Lot's daughter stuck to tradition instead of scripture. So speaking to the Pharisees about tradition, Jesus replied, "And why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition?" Matthew 15:3. Following tradition is not an uncommon behavior. We do it too. We hold to our traditions over serving Christ. And most of us believe that God is here to pamper us. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. Romans 1:21. So we have thrown away Christ for convenience. By trusting in tradition, you learn to reject Jesus. This makes it easier to practice evil. And by evil, I mean anything that disagrees with Scripture. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, for fear that his deeds will be exposed. John 3:20-21. So our traditions allow us to practice evil and ignore Scripture. And many will follow their evil ways and say evil things about the way of truth. That's 2 Peter 2:2. Even after watching her loved ones destroyed in Sodom, Lot's daughter still wanted to behave like them. She was afraid to change. We find this trait in the Moabites, and many Christians act like this too. We use traditions or programs to minister instead of sharing the gospel. We are afraid to change. We stick to what is comfortable instead of sticking to the script. The next army is Ammon. They were the descendants of Lot and his second daughter. Her older sister kept nagging her, and she gave in to peer pressure. She repeated her sister's sin with the same result. She named her son Ammon, which means follow the leader. The Ammonites represents the fear of people, which shows up as people-pleasing, peer pressure, or going along with the crowd. Scripture warns us quite often about joining these people. Don't follow the ways of the wicked. Don't do what evil people do. Avoid their ways and don't follow them. Stay away from them and keep on going. Proverbs 4:14-15. That's wise advice, but take it from experience. It's hard to stick to the script when no one else is. The Ammonites went along with the crowd and joined the Moabites. We can understand this because we go along with evil to fit in with the crowd too. Pleasing the people is more important to many Christians than serving Christ. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served something created instead of the Creator. Romans 1:25. We worship what we fear, and fear of people is people worship. Since we worship people, we will try to please people and not Jesus. Now, if we worship Jesus, we would serve Jesus and not the people. Paul said, set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. Colossians 3:2. When your mind is on people, you're not concerned about what Jesus thinks. In fact, you will call evil good and reject Scripture. We see that in many churches. The Bible says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Isaiah 5:20. Contrary to popular opinion, there is no subjective morality. Jesus decides what is true, what is right, and what is wrong, not us. Church, we must stick to the script. Without Scripture, there is no way to measure evil. I would not have known what sin was had it not been for the law. For I would not have known that coveting really was if the law had not said, you shall not covet. Romans 7:7. So we need the Bible to see where we miss the mark. That's sin. The last army is unknown, so they represent the fear of the unknown. But what we do know is that they came to destroy Jehoshaphat. So when you don't have many facts, your mind tends to fill in the details with the worst possible scenarios. Take Nebuchadnezzar, for example. I had a dream that made me afraid. As I was lying in bed, the images and visions that passed through my mind terrified me. Daniel 4:5. Jehoshaphat was just as confused, and he was scared. And if these three armies were coming after you, you would be terrified too. So if you stick to the script, you can expect the same behavior. People will try to stop you. Jesus said, then you will be arrested, persecuted, and killed. You will be hated all over the world because you are my followers. Matthew 24:9. We still deal with fear. Sin tries to keep us terrified by getting us to ignore scripture. Living by God's word is being attacked. Jehoshaphat was concerned about these groups, the Ammonites, the Moabites, and the other group. We still have to give, still have fears. We still have to face the fear of change, the fear of people, and the unknown. But are we going to allow our fears to run wild? Well, the rumors made Jehoshaphat afraid, and he was told a large army was attacking him and had already taken his vacation house. Jehoshaphat had no idea what was going on. It was confusion with a few facts. We call this misinformation. The Bible calls it gossip. The evil people look for ways to harm others. Even their words burn with evil. Gossip is spread by wicked people. They stir up trouble and break up friendships. Violent people deceive their friends and lead them to disaster. Watch out for people who grin and wink at you. They have thought of something evil. Proverbs 16:27-30. We are told to avoid such behavior and not to hang around people who gossip. But here's another example of misinformation. This is more a case of lying. They present what they want you to know as truth, with no facts to support it. The theory of evolution and climate change is based on this technique. They lie and say it's science. The Bible says, do not give false evidence against your neighbor. Deuteronomy 5:20. That means don't lie. When you hear science says without any evidence or made up evidence, they're lying to you. The Spirit says clearly that some people will abandon the faith in later times. They will obey lying spirits and follow the teaching of demons. Such teachings are spread by deceitful liars whose conscience are dead, as if burnt with a hot iron. 1 Timothy 4:1-2. In our time, all you hear are lies. They push the teachings of demons. Jehoshaphat was provided with just enough details to cause him to fear. So our news operates this way. They are always twisting or lying about something to get us to fear. If you go along with this fake news, it makes it easier for wicked people to manipulate, control, or destroy you. Nehemiah has a suggestion for us to deal with fake news. So I sent him back this answer. Nothing you are saying is really happening. You're just making it up in your own mind. Nehemiah 6:8. If you want to know the truth about what you're told, you have to do the research yourself. First using scripture, then physical facts. So let's continue with Nehemiah. And I understood and saw that God had not sent him, but he had pronounced a prophecy against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. Nehemiah 6:3. So Nehemiah tells us to check scripture, check their agenda, then follow the money. So fake news has always been around, starting with the serpent in the garden He said to the woman, did God really say in Genesis 3:1, the Jewish leaders lied about Jesus. So you see, lying is found everywhere by everyone. So how do you handle it when the arrogant lie to and about you? Syria or Aram means an elevated stronghold, pride cemented. It represents the pride of life or arrogance on steroids. So Aram was the only battle Jehoshaphat had lost. Now the king of Aram had ordered his 32 chariot commanders, do not fight with anyone small or great except the king of Israel. When the chariot commanders saw Jehoshaphat, they thought, surely this is the king of Israel. So they turned to attack him. But when Jehoshaphat cried out, the chariot commander saw that he was not the king of Israel and stopped pursuing him. 1 Kings 22, 31-33. By the grace of God, Jehoshaphat was able to escape. So can you see Jehoshaphat's mind racing, thinking Aram was coming to finish the job? Aram was the most powerful nation in that part of the world, and they took pride to a whole new level. To them, might was right. They believed they didn't need God. You have said it is useless to serve God. What's the use of doing what he says or trying to show the Lord Almighty that we are sorry for what we've done? So we say that proud people are happy. Evil people succeed. They challenge God and get away with it. Malachi 3:14-15. So Jehoshaphat was lied to about Aram, and the proud lie to us so they can control our society. And they will do anything to get Jesus gone. Arrogance is any idea that says it is better than Jesus in any way. The Bible says it is any superior idea that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. 2 Corinthians 10:5. The arrogant think they know better than Jesus, so they don't have to answer to him. If you disagree with them, you are attacked. If you correct conceited people, you will only be insulted. If you reprimand evil people, you will only get hurt. Proverbs 9:7. Because of arrogant people, many churches have abandoned the gospel and joined them. These three groups have staged in Hazar Tamar. It is a city in Moab across the Dead Sea from En-Gedi in Judah. It's like Juarez, Mexico, is across from El Paso, Texas, or Tijuana, Mexico, borders San Diego, California. So if you can imagine that there are some countries in these cities staging troops at our borders about to attack us. Well, we don't want to insult anyone, so we'll call them migrants instead of soldiers. But Hazazon Tamar means to remove the standards. This verifies why Jehoshaphat was attacked. They wanted to change Judah's standards. They were trying to stop him from sharing the law. And this is what their arrogance are doing here in the U.S. They are trying to destroy our biblical standards. What happened is this. Some people have infiltrated our ranks. Our scriptures warned us this would happen. Who beneath their pious skin are shameless scoundrels. Their design is to replace the sheer grace of our God with sheer license, which means doing away with Jesus Christ, our one and only master. Jude 1:4. The wicked are trying to destroy the Christian foundations of this nation. They make the Bible taboo and change our standards to moral relativism. You do what you want. Since many churches don't follow scripture, it is easy for them to abandon biblical standards. And so people become enemies of God when they are controlled by their human nature. For they do not obey God's law, and in fact, they cannot obey it. Romans 8:7. Church, this is a battle to control our minds. What is going to control you? Your sinful nature or scripture? Do you go along with liberals or stick to the script. Well, Engedi was a resort town, like Gatlinburg. So Engedi actually means the mind of a child. This resort that once brought comfort and happiness is now a center of misinformation, an enemy stronghold. It is like Disney in our day. An organization once known for its family values has now become a place of immorality, a den of Satan. The news coming out of Engedi was meant to demoralize Judah. Their scare tactics were designed to get the Judeans to lose hope and forget about the Lord. The devil is running around making a bunch of noise, trying to catch someone off guard so he can destroy them, 1 Peter 5:8. Satan is trying to make you lose your mind. He wants you to lose faith in Jesus and walk in unbelief. And we see his Antichrist agenda pushed in schools. And if they can get the kids to think that God is dead, they can replace the truth with any lie they want. If they can control the minds of the children, they control the next generation. And that will be a generation that hates Jesus. Without Christ, sin becomes a standard for behavior. Without the Bible, there is no right or wrong standards. It's just you doing you. So moral relativism can only be used where there is no scripture. Then you can set your own good and evil behavior. So there is no justice among us, and we know nothing about right living. We look for light, but find only darkness. We look for bright skies, but walk in gloom. Yes, truth is gone, and anyone who renounces evil is attacked. The Lord looked and was displeased to find there was no justice. Isaiah 59:9-15. Without Jesus, we make up our own script. We become a society ready for destruction. With rumors floating around, Jehoshaphat was afraid. He could give in to the gossip and despair, or choose to pray and seek Yahweh. Jehoshaphat means the judgment of the Lord. So the text actually reads, the judgment of the Lord is to be feared. This tells us what Jehoshaphat did. See, before this attack happened, Jehoshaphat was witnessing to Judah. So Jehoshaphat practiced what he preached. He feared the Lord. And he didn't try to hide it. Jehoshaphat ordered Judah to join him in seeking Jehovah. And Jesus says, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. Matthew 5:15. When adversity strikes, and it will, we can give in to despair and crumble, or fear the Lord and live out our faith. And I pray you can follow Jehoshaphat's example and be a light. Because we live in a fallen world where all kind of evil happens, fear is a normal part of life. We are going to fear. But it is not okay to let fear guide us. Paul says, be angry and do not sin, Ephesians 4:26. So we are sinners, living among sinners. People are going to make us mad. But it is not okay to allow that anger to make us sin. Fear is the same way. We are going to be afraid, but we cannot allow fear to control us. We can fear others or fear the Lord. Jehoshaphat feared the Lord. Who will you fear? Fear of the Lord caused Jehoshaphat to seek the Lord. We also need to acknowledge our fear and turn it over to Christ. The psalmist said, why am I so depressed? Why this turmoil within me? Put your hope in God, for I will still praise him, my Savior and my God. Psalms 42:5. When things are wrong, we need to seek Jesus. And what does it mean to seek? To seek the Lord means that you keep looking for Christ until he shows up. You start and complete it. But Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Matthew 7:7. It is the entire process. You do it until it's done. Jesus set the best example for seeking Yahweh. He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Matthew 26:39. Jesus received his answer. This gave him the resolve to endure the cross. For the king trusts in the Lord, and through the mercy of the Most High, he shall not be moved. Psalm 21:7. Seeking the Lord is lining ourselves up with Scripture. And I hold your word dear in my heart, so I may not sin against you. Psalms 119:11. Jehoshaphat tells Judah to do it Yahweh's way, to stick to the script. And Jehoshaphat asked Judah to send people to pray and fast. And Esther did the same thing when the Jews were about to be destroyed. "Go, gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my attendants will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king. Even though it is against the law, and if I perish, I perish." Esther 4:16. In difficult times, Christians should gather to pray and fast. And today, the church is in a bad place. And we should be praying. No. We should be fasting for the church, plus the soul of this nation. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Jeremiah 29:7. Jehoshaphat called for a fast following the example Moses set when he received the law. Moses was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights without eating bread or drinking water, Exodus 34:28. We don't know how long Judah fasted. The people stopped eating and drinking. Instead, they sought the Lord according to his word. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before you. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you 7 ways, Deuteronomy 28:7. Jehoshaphat stuck to the script. He sought Yahweh for answers, and Judah continued to fast until they heard from Jehovah. A spiritual fast is similar. We give up evil and live for Jesus. Jesus says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." Matthew 6:25-33. Yahweh told Isaiah, "The kind of fasting I want is this. Remove the chains of oppression and the yoke of injustice, and let the oppressed go free." Isaiah 58:6. Isaiah was told to stick to the script. So we are to give up the things of this world. In its place, we live to glorify Christ. We keep everything about Jesus. Paul says, "Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus." Philippians 3:13-14. A spiritual fast is to walk in the Spirit. It is to stick to the script. Jehoshaphat followed Solomon's advice. If your people go out to fight their enemies, no matter by which way you send them, and they pray to you toward the city you choose and the house I built for your name, then from heaven hear their prayer and plea and uphold their cause. 2 Chronicles 6:34-35. God has already told us what to do. Jehoshaphat sought Yahweh for directions. He stuck to the script. We don't have to worry about the rumors and lies. We can live the way the Lord directs us and stick to the script. Judah had repented. Now, what does the Bible mean by repent? So if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. This verse tells us that repentance starts with being a child of God. That's salvation. Then we humble ourselves, let confess our sins and pray and seek his face. That's we ask Jesus for directions and search the Bible for answers. We find Judah asking Jehovah for help and Jehoshaphat sticking to the script. Repentance means to stop doing your own thing and follow Jesus. Paul described repentance this way: throw off your old sinful nature and former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Ephesians 4:22-24. A true repentance changes you from being the scum of the earth to a child of God. So test yourselves. Make sure you are solid in the faith. Don't drift along taking everything for granted. Give yourselves regular checkups. You need firsthand evidence. If you fail the test, do something about it. 2 Corinthians 13:5. So if you're not following the script, you need to equip. By sticking to the script, Judah sought Yahweh. And church, that is why we seek Jesus. When we seek Christ before worship service, our brick building should be full. And at the end of Bible study, we should be pouring out our hearts over the things we've just learned. But we can't stick to the script if we don't know Scripture. We need to read and study the Bible. The Scripture gives us the directions to follow, general principles to help in our daily walk, and suggestions to guide us in times of uncertainty. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, training, and correcting in righteousness. 2 Timothy 3:16. Sticking to the script gives us direction. This is why we have the law. And Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid, for God has come only to test you and to put the fear of him upon you so that you do not sin." Exodus 20:20. So Yahweh makes us more afraid of him than anything else. This fear of the Lord keeps us in line. When we start looking for the Lord's way to do things, we're on the right track. Solomon wrote, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." Proverbs 1:7. Sticking to the script is how we learn spiritually. Seeing Jehovah's grace and mercy in action turns our fear of the Lord into reverence for Jesus. But have reverence for Christ in your hearts and honor him as Lord. Be ready at all times to answer anyone who asks you to explain the hope you have in you. 1 Peter 3:15. It is the fear of the Lord that caused us to obey the word. By obeying the word, we learn to revere Christ. This respect makes us stick to the script. It keeps repeating until we get it right. So before he acts, Jehoshaphat seeks the Lord. But Jehoshaphat asks, "Isn't there a prophet of the Lord here? Let's ask him what we should do." 2 Chronicles 18:6. So he summons Judah to Jerusalem, which means a place of shalom. Sticking to the script has guided Jehoshaphat to this place of wholeness. And it teaches us to walk in the Spirit. It brings us to a place of shalom. That's our Jerusalem. Only our Jerusalem is in Jesus Christ. It is an eternal wholeness. So you are made complete in Jesus Christ. Yes, you are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. Colossians 2:10. When you stick to the script, the word guides you to shalom. Remember, that's what Pastor Rob wants you to have. Shalom is a side effect of obedience. But if someone obeys God's teaching, then in that person, God's love has truly reached its goal. This is how we can be sure we are living in God. Whoever says that he lives in God must live as Jesus lived. 1 John 2:5 through 6. Imitating Jesus makes you stick to the script. So we have reached a transformation point, a place where the Word of God makes our decisions. We have learned to stick to the script. And this is why Jehoshaphat stood before the temple encouraging Judah to obey. And things are a little different for us Christians. We no longer have to turn to the temple to pray. Why? Because of Jesus. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. Philippians 2:6 through 7. So he was born of a virgin. From birth until his death, he stuck to the script and lived a righteous life. This restored God's righteousness to earth. Jesus died on the cross for the sins of the people. This paid the penalty for sin, death. He was buried with sin, with the sin of the world. That fulfilled justice. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, 1 Peter 3:18. He arose from the grave with all authority and power. This righteous one is now able to pass his righteousness on to whoever he wants. He seals them forever with the Holy Spirit. When we are sealed, our body becomes the new temple of Jehovah. When we stick to the script, we are a living temple. Now that's good news. Jehoshaphat added the new court where the Judeans are gathered to the temple ground. It's also been called the outer court and the court of the women. This is where the unworthy come to the Lord. The new court represents the new covenant. Jesus started the new covenant when he established the church. But now you who were once far off have been brought near through the shedding of the Messiah's blood. Ephesians 2:13. The new covenant allows Jesus to gather useless people like us into a group of baptized believers he set aside to do his work, the church. So Paul sums it up in 2 Corinthians 10:3-6. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. The Moabites. We demolish arguments, the Ammonites, and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, anything unknown. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ, humble ourselves. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience. Repent. Once your obedience is complete, you stick to the script. Yes, you will fear. Yes, we will fear. Change happens. People will oppose you, and there will always be something unknown. But we have been given the script to defeat them. Let's close with Ecclesiastes 12:13. The last and final word is this: fear God. Do what he tells you. Stick to the script. Let us pray.